Check, check, check. It's a great day, man. I got a very special guest with me today, man. It's going to be the first episode of the Pod Daddy's political series, one of two. We're just going to have some fun with this, man. We're going to get into some politics. We're just going to kind of introduce some information that may not be known to everybody or some stuff that you may have heard before and you don't really know what it means. We're going to break it down. So sit back and enjoy, man. This is the Pod Daddy. You know, we always start with a positive moment. Hold on. I got to introduce my very special guest first. Let me not get into the positive moment. I got my main man here. His name is Dangerous Doug. Dangerous Doug Kendall. Former political radio host. I'm honored to have him here. Honored to hear his insights. Before you can really change things, you really gotta speak to people that don't always agree with you. So that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna talk to somebody who may present some ideas that don't really jive with what you're used to, but that's where change really comes from, man. That's where change comes from. It comes from learning, comes from growing. Mr. Dangerous Doug, if you want to go ahead and say your hellos, go ahead, man.
Hey, I am honored to be here, too. You know, you and I have private little conversations from time to time about life and politics and that kind of thing. And I've always enjoyed our back and forth, and I respect you a lot, and I appreciate you having me here today. It's been a long time since I've been in front of a microphone like this, so this is good to get back.
We're going
to
have fun, man. We're going to, you know, loosen up our shoulders a little bit. On. Let your hair down. Yeah. Even though you cut yours years ago. we're gonna have some fun, man. This is gonna be a good podcast. Very informative. But you know, we're gonna do what we do here at the Pod Daddy. It's a safe space, so we're gonna keep it real, we're gonna keep it raw, and we're gonna have fun, man. Every bar gonna be authentic. Like my man Arsenal say. But all right though, I'm gonna start with my positive moment. And this positive moment, in light of this week, Dr. King's birthday, can't go too far without, you know, saying Dr. King's name and just recognizing everything he's done for us as a country, moving us forward. So I don't want to go too far without mentioning that. And also the inauguration coming this week, man, that's big, man. We just had our first vice president that was elected, who's a woman and black. Isn't she like a Native American or something? She's all type of stuff. So everybody's excited. You know what I'm saying? So we're all happy for that. So we definitely want to make sure we touch on all of those things. And our positive moment for the day is a Martin Luther King quote that I actually saw a very close friend of mine post on to her Instagram. But it says, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And I thought that was important at this time because, as I've said in other podcasts, we kind of divided right now. So it's important for us to recognize the things that we can do to help everyone. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just about what you do for yourself or what you're doing for your family or what you're doing, why everybody thinks you're great. It's not just about your money. It's about how you treat others. You know what I mean? You're not just judged by what you think you are. You're judged by how you treat others, man. And that's the bottom line. Doug, anything you want to expound on?
You know, I think doing things for others, reaching out to others, builds bridges.
Indeed.
And we got a lot of broken bridges in this country. And I think building those bridges and, hey, giving a helping hand once in a while, you know, looking out for somebody, being a friend, mm-hmm. those kind of things, you know, that's what brings
us
together.
General human decency.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just general human decency.
Absolutely. It brings us together and makes us see that, hey, you know, we're not too different, that we can't overcome our differences and we can't live together and in harmony and you live your life and I live mine. Hey, if you need something, you know, let me know and vice versa, you know, that kind of thing. And that's basically kind of how I live my life.
Yeah. And that's the way everybody should. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Differences are it's the same thing how we say about losses. Differences are lessons, points of opportunity. You know what I mean? If you have a different opinion than me, that's a lesson I can learn. That's an opportunity for me to grow from a conversation. Just because we disagree doesn't mean we can't talk. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that we can't agree to disagree. But there still should be some point of, hey, like, let me hear how you feel. You can't just write off the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this podcast is going to be about today. This is not going to be a debate. This is going to be a conversation. I'm not here to argue or do anything like that. We're merely going to talk, and we're going to have fun while we're doing it. We're going to joke. We're going to laugh. So let's get right into it, man. So the big news in politics right now, obviously besides the inauguration coming, the Capitol building, the terrorists.
Oh, my goodness.
The terrorists that took over or attempted to take over the Capitol building. Did you catch that? Did you any of that?
I did.
Any of that footage? How did you feel about it?
I felt it was what they did was pretty stupid, actually.
You said wow when I said terrorists. Do you believe they were terrorists?
I don't believe. I believe terrorism is a word that government people like to throw around whenever they can use that new bill they put into place a few years ago about designating people as domestic terrorists so they can round them up. So I don't believe in just throwing that word around willy-nilly, and I think politicians love to do that.
But terrorism is not something that's just abroad. There's domestic terrorism.
Oh, of course.
And if they went to a federal building with the intentions on kind of taking it over, that's terrorism, right?
I think it was more of these are stupid vandals who the police let inside, opened the gates for them to go inside, and had agents provocateur sitting in the crowd throwing flares at police officers trying to get other people to rile them up. I saw a video of that. I think it was staged, honestly, and I think some stupid people in the crowd fell for it and went inside and, look, I can have a free heyday. Woo, look, I'm going to sit behind the desk and play around. I'm going to be stupid. I'm going to break some windows out. I think there are people like that in every crowd.
Most definitely.
And I think happened.
That's like even with the protests that was happening all across the country with Black Lives Matter, there's always agitators. But I feel like the difference between those things and what was happening at the Capitol building was those people, they kind of came there with the intentions to fuck shit up. Like, they weren't there to be peaceful. They were there to fuck it up.
I think initially they were there to be peaceful, and then they were... Actually, police said, here, go in, have fun. And so they went in, and they thought they could be stupid. And I really don't think it was terrorism. People were trying to burn down a building and, you know, hijack this or take over that or kidnap the president for political control.
There was somebody killed. They beat somebody with an American flag.
Yeah, and Nancy Pelosi's son-in-law was there with the one with the little buffalo hat thing on and stuff like that. So... And those pictures were all over the media and everything.
That was Nancy Pelosi's son-in-law.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things about that didn't add up. And I posted about that not too long ago. And I also said, if you didn't use the word domestic terrorism with the riots and everything that were going on before just 2 months ago, don't use that term now.
But there was a clear difference.
I didn't see a difference. I saw people tearing things up. That really had nothing to do with the whole argument.
Mm-hmm.
A chance to get things for free because they were mad and thought they could get away with it. And if it had happened in any other situation with looting, any people at all, I would say the same exact thing.
Looting, if you're referring to people...
A trespass.
Yes, but that's not the same thing as going to a federal building and freaking, like, destroy, you know what I'm saying? Like they went there to take it over. They didn't go there just to fuck it up and be vandals. They went there with the intentions on changing the government.
Not until the police let them in.
No,
they were staying outside the barricades being cool.
But they were still. But the reason they were there was to change the government. Like they were listening to their leader, our president. And
he didn't tell them to do that.
He gave them mixed signals that told them, hey, come if you want to, but you could still go to jail, but come on if you want to. You know what I'm saying? So
I don't like any of them. I don't like Republicans or Democrats at all. in the political process because I'm a voluntarist. I don't fall in any one of those camps at all. So I
all
beat
right, so
both of them up equally, and I think all of them are, to be fair, though, in the speech, I'm not a Trump fan at all.
Okay.
Let me clarify that first.
Okay.
I don't care for the guy at all.
Okay.
He's done some business dealings, and he's made a nice life for himself, but I don't like politicians, period. I don't care who they are, where they come from. Okay, so I had to say that.
Got that out there.
Qualify that.
Okay.
All right. But I have to be, let's be honest about something. He did say we want peace. We have to respect the law. Ugh, that makes me cringe every time I say that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to respect the law and law enforcement.
Okay.
He said that. And thank you guys. Go home. He said that.
Okay.
Go home. He didn't say go to the Capitol building and tear it up. So he didn't directly incite any kind of riot. He told people to go home. They didn't listen.
Okay, but if I tell you no, and if I say no, but I shake my head yes, then what? You know, like he told him to go home. He had to tell him to go home.
Yeah,
but he didn't want him to go home.
I don't.
He's been telling them for the last 3 months. Hey, I'm not gonna lose this election. If I lose it, we're gonna fight. We're gonna
what all politicians say.
No, they don't. They don't. If you lose, you lose.
We're gonna take our country back. They say that every time. Yeah, the opposition always says that.
They say that, but they don't. But a politician doesn't lose a race and then say, "Oh, I'm fighting this." If you lose, you lose. You go home. He's not even going to. He's not even going to be there for Biden to take office.
He's
a sore loser. He's a jackass. I mean, and not to. I'm not picking. I don't want to pick any political sides, but you know, like he's a jackass. I mean, like just even if like the guy, hate the guy. You know, I could love my dad, and he could be a jackass. You know what I'm saying? Right or wrong, he's a jackass.
Well, I don't care for him either. So I mean, you and I are on the same page. I don't care.
Okay,
for him.
But
so I'm not supporting him.
All right. So he told him to go.
I don't agree with that. So he told him go home. I heard that come out of his mouth. Go home.
But yeah, I've been telling him for 3 months to go.
Yeah, rally. Because I mean, it's just like any other march or rally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, politicians do it. Hey, let's gather on the memorial, and we're gonna, you know, we've mm-hmm. had the Million Man March. We've had men standing up to be good parents march. We've had all kinds of marches,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And it's the same kind of thing. We want to rally your base. Every politician does it.
His base is way different than the
there
base.
There were some stupid people in that crowd.
And he knows his base is retarded.
Come on, man.
He knows his base is not the smartest base in the world. So if you tell that base to rally, then what do you think is going to happen?
I honestly don't think that kind of thing normally would happen. But
come on.
And there was also a thing that came out that came from another country, by the way.
Uh-huh.
A group that was actively scheduling protests in different places around the world. It's like their thing. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
And so they scheduled them. They sent out this big notice. We're having armed rallies at every state capital this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sending and blasting out all over the place.
Yeah,
right?
Those Trump people.
No, it was not. I can actually show you some things later on. But
I'm just saying that the people that agree with his idealism.
The target was Trump people. And mm-hmm. the reason why they were doing it was they want people to show up armed so that they could agitate the crowd, get them to do something stupid, and then everybody go, hey, look at that. We need to take guns. People are dangerous with guns. We need to end the Second Amendment. That's what it was all about. And when we undercovered it,
well, we do need to
I sent a message out, a blast out to everybody who follows me and all the people that I'm in groups with on the internet and stuff, the different sites and things, platforms. I said, look, this is a false flag operation. Do not fall for this. Warning, do not go to this thing. Don't show up with a gun. Stay home that day. I mean, we can protest. Be smarter. They looked at you like you were idiots last time and used it all against you. Even your own people used it against you.
Yeah.
Your own politicians used it against you is what I mean. So don't be dumb a second time. Don't fall for this. Don't show up. And the word got out,
mm-hmm.
and you see what happened this past weekend. Nothing.
Okay. All right, so I guess
hard head, soft butt. You know, old Chinese proverb.
That's true. That's true. old Chinese proverb,
right.
and it's one of the truest ones. So, all right, with the Capitol building and Trump deciding, basically, not one of the things with that was voting. He felt like that, like. It was falsified. There was a lot of bull going on with that. How do you like the voting process, man? I think that right now, the fact that the Democrats were able to win Georgia and then effectively take the take the Senate, and they already had the House, I think that that's gonna put that puts pressure on the Democrats now, because for so long, Democrats have been telling voters that we're not getting things done because we're being held up by the other side, or we're not able to get things done because there's not enough of us in seats, you know, to really pass these things. So I think now we're going to be at a point where now we got to hold those guys to the fire. But voting as a whole, you know what I mean? Like, what do you think about voting?
I think it's a joke, and why? I'll tell you why. I actually ran for Congress in 2002, came in second in three-way
race. Is your opinion personal?
It's personal experience.
Okay.
So before I had my light bulb moment and got out of government altogether and realized what a ridiculous joke it was, I tried to make a difference. I was one of those outsider type of people coming in to, you know, try to make a difference. And so I ran for office a couple of times. I managed a statewide campaign for a superintendent of education. I was executive director of a political party for a while. And I was in politics for about a decade. And in 2007, I had my big moment. I'd always thought that the system was rigged against you and everything, and that you couldn't make a difference if you weren't in the good old boys club, whether it was left or right. So I got in and tried to make a difference. And I saw firsthand election rigging, making it so that candidates could not participate. They actually shunned my candidate. He wasn't allowed in anything.
Was that because of funding? Because I know for me, like when I got into the political field, I kind of realized that a lot of stuff, like, you got to be funded just things like, was it just lack of, you know, they just completely outsourced the guy.
They completely said, we don't want you here.
Okay.
It didn't cost any extra funding to put my candidate up in front of a microphone that was already up there on stage and let him be a part of a debate or anything else. So
was he some crazy?
Not at all.
Okay.
Actually, he's he has a master's degree in psychology, clinical psychology, and he was a respected teacher in the area for many, many years. So it wasn't like he was some kook, you know, that was going to get up there and go crazy about stuff. He was a real respected guy, and he was actually my co-host when I was doing radio. He was co-host with me for a while toward the end of my radio run. So this wasn't some nut job.
Okay.
This was a guy who had credentials. He was smart, very thoughtful, very logical, and a respected guy in the community. But he was shunned. The powers that be would not allow him to participate. We saw vote changing, all kinds of stuff with the votes and everything. And that's when my little light bulb went off, and I said, you know what? It's impossible for anybody, just like a police force, a dirty police force. Mm-hmm. If you get a dirty police force and you're a rookie coming into that dirty police force and you think you're going to make a difference, I know a friend who tried that and got blackballed. You think you can go be able to make a difference in that police force and change it? Oh, no. The good old boy system is going to beat you down. You can be blackballed, beat up, killed, worse, whatever. You're not going to make a difference in that police force coming in trying to make a difference from the inside.
Yeah. I mean,
corruption runs rampant.
Yeah, that's the case with a lot of things. But I still think that we can't lose hope in our democracy. That doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
It was taken over a long time ago, man.
Indeed. But, I mean, gosh, man, we have to have some type of faith that the system that was put in place for us to thrive is going to let us thrive. They shunned your guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they shunned a lot of people.
Okay, and they shunned a lot of people.
Yeah.
And sometimes as voters, we have to choose between the lesser of two evils.
But they chose for them.
But if we did more in the beginning process to raise whatever guy or, you know what I'm saying, make whatever person that we wanted to be a part of that process, if we did more to get them in,
right,
then, you know what I'm saying? So it's not, so voting is important because us as a society, we have to show, hey, this guy is who we want. This guy is, you know, like the DNC, I think, cares about what the people think. And so does you know what I'm saying? Both parties want to do what their base cares the most about. So if you as a person, a part of that base, isn't willing to beat the drum, then you're not, you know what I'm saying? Then you're not going to get to see the change that you want to see. So, like, I don't know. The good old boy system to me is, I mean, it keeps everybody down, but it doesn't mean that we have to be beholden to that.
Well, I mean, even you saw it with Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
And the super delegates and all that kind of stuff in DNC, right?
Yeah.
They're going to rig things the way they want to rig it to make sure the candidate goes along.
What do you mean you saw it with Bernie Sanders?
Well, you know how Bernie Sanders had all the popular support, and then in the end at the convention, they screwed him over in favor of Hillary Clinton with the super delegates and all that kind of stuff. And some people get more vote power than others and all that stuff, right?
But that goes
then they paid him off with a $600,000 beach house.
But a conversation that we had outside of this about electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
So if Bernie Sanders might have had the popular vote, but if there were more delegates in other places. You know what I'm saying? If Hillary Clinton had more delegates, then you know that's the same thing, right? Is it not?
No. They changed the procedure during the convention, and they allowed some people to have more voting power than others, and made the super delegate stuff to ensure that Bernie Sanders didn't beat Hillary Clinton for the nomination.
You think that was because he's a socialist?
Bernie's way on the end. He's much farther on the scale. Than Hillary Clinton is.
But he said out loud, I'm a democratic socialist.
Like, he's pretty close to, he's teetering on communism, but he definitely is a democratic socialist as long as the vote in the socialism the democratic body deciding it goes along his way, he's fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't go along with that.
Okay.
I don't like any politician because I don't want a master. I don't believe in any type of slavery whatsoever. And to me, government is my slavery.
But man, listen, only thing with that is like, and as your friend, I'm gonna say this to you. You can't just say slavery. You know what I'm saying? Because
we're all in it.
Yeah, but no.
We're all controlled.
But we're not all in it though. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's, like, slavery was, like, okay, like, you have to call it something different. Like, you can't call it slavery because slavery was a real thing that happened to a lot of people. People were beaten. People were taken from their, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what we're going through today. Yes, there's some structure to our life, but we're not slaves. You know what I'm saying? You can do what you want to within reason.
There you go, within reason.
But
then government decides your reason.
But that there should be something that governs the way people, like, you can't just walk around doing whatever the hell you want to.
I don't see why not.
Well, how can you not see why you can't?
With all your laws and stuff right now, we have people walking around doing whatever.
Yeah, and then there's you go to jail.
And that's kidnapping and caging.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. No, you fucked up. You get locked up. You know what I'm saying? It's not kidnapping and caging. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, that's not kidnapping and caging.
That's so... It's so, what's the word I'm looking for? Abhorrent to someone who believes in freedom.
Freedom is.
Kills me.
All right. So, freedom, we'll never have freedom because there's always going to be some laws that, like, what do you want to do? Go live in the wild in your underwear?
No.
So I'm saying,
we don't have to have government for that.
But I'm that's what I'm saying. So, when you say, like, oh, like, I don't want nobody in charge. Like, there's always going to be, even people as a whole, like, there's people, the majority of people have a herd mentality. You know what I'm saying? So,
unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, so even, let's say we just say, all right, fuck it, no president. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a group of people that look to somebody and say, hey, man, you're a leader. I need you guys.
We can have leaders.
So.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the problem with what we have now?
I'm glad you asked that. Because if you don't mind, I'd like to read you something that I wrote back in 2009.
Okay.
It's still on my website today. You can
What's the website?
It's anarchistpov.wordpress.com.
Okay.
It's anarchist POV as in point of view.
Okay. Anarchist not for all you POV. Freaky motherfuckers. No. You know what I mean? This is not that.
No, not at all. anarchistpov.wordpress.com.
Okay.
But there's an article I wrote in February 2009 called Reality Check.
Okay.
And there's also a spoken version of it on YouTube you can find. But in that article I wrote, I said, some will say that power comes from the people. Mm-hmm. But there's a big problem with that when you look at everything logically. Being a regular person, your neighbor can't legally or morally go out and break into your house, take your children because he doesn't like you or the way you're raising your kids, steal money from your wallet or bank accounts, force you to use mercury-containing, highly toxic, fluorescent lights, tear your newly built storage building down because you didn't get permission, a permit from him to do so, fine you because you painted your house a color that doesn't meet with community standards or zoning regulations, etc. So how is it then that your neighbor, a regular person, just like anyone else, can win an election and suddenly gain the power to do these illegal and immoral things? If he didn't have the power before and no one else possesses the rightful or moral authority to do these things either, how can that power come from the people? It can't. Therefore, it's illegitimate. You can't give something away that you do not have. And men in powdered wigs didn't have any right or to simply write words on a piece of parchment and begin ruling present and future generations either. That's how I feel about government. It's, to me, is an illegitimate power grab. Okay. Because you and I, could I go out and start a government in your neighborhood today and say, hey, Pa Daddy, I don't like what you're doing with your house. You know, we've decided, we got together and we voted on it.
Yeah, and you got to go change HOA.
We are the HOA. And I just decided we put one around you. You weren't a part of it before. Mm-hmm. We didn't have one, but we,
that's
and your neighbors,
but
we
that's
started
not what
one.
You, but in that you said mm-hmm. the people, and then you said mm-hmm. people elected somebody.
Mm-hmm. That's still people. It's regular people.
Okay, so one person, you mm-hmm. don't, you cannot just come to my house and say that you're in charge and lock
yeah.
me up.
But no. We voted on it, though. We all voted on it around
that,
you.
And that's the thing that makes it different from your neighbor coming over to your door and just doing some wild shit or versus somebody who's been an elected official.
But we elected that official. They elected me to come over here and do that to your house.
Okay, but so, yeah.
You got to change the paint on your house because we don't like that color.
Yeah, we go through that. But I'm saying it from a broader standpoint.
But just we can't not, do that, right?
Yeah, we could do that. If everybody in the neighborhood, let's say.
But you didn't agree. Let's say you didn't agree.
It doesn't matter. If I live on the street, like, let's say, okay, boom, I live on the street.
Right.
Like, everybody on my street decides, hey, man, all the houses on this street are going to be yellow. They take that up to whatever powers that be.
No,
that
they
are.
Decided in the neighborhood.
Okay,
now.
They decide in the neighborhood right. the houses are going to be yellow.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
come to me and mm-hmm. they say, hey, Ramon, you got to paint your house yellow.
Yeah.
No, I do not have to paint my house yellow.
Right, exactly.
They have no authority.
Exactly.
Exactly. But the moment, which our great country is popular for, the moment that there's a democracy put in place on my street, and everybody goes to every street on the house and says, hey, guys, we're going to vote on the color of the houses. And if yellow wins, everybody has to change their color, their house yellow. If now that is that's different. What you're talking about is
a democracy.
Extreme.
It was a democracy. The majority of people in the neighborhood said you got to change your house.
So now, and if we've all talked about this and we all agree.
No, they just
decided.
Just because they
didn't choose the color of the house that I wanted doesn't mean that they're forcing me to do something, because if they would have chose red, I'd be okay.
But they chose yellow.
So, but that's the thing. Just because the democracy isn't going with what you want doesn't mean the democracy is bullshit.
No, the point was that they have the power. Does this neighborhood have the power to come and tell you to change the paint of your house?
If we all agree to vote on it, yes, they
but
do.
But you don't agree. Let's say, all right, let's say it's me. This is my house. And mm-hmm. and the neighbors come over and say, hey, we've all voted. We think you need to change the color of your house. Mm-hmm. And I say, no, you don't own my house. Mm-hmm. Is that still legit? My neighbors just decided what my house color is
going
to be?
All right.
You see where I'm going with that?
I feel where you're going with it, but I think that example is too... It's too easy to say, hell no, I wouldn't do that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
because they don't have the authority.
Yeah, but that's not the world that we live in. That's not the country that we live in. We live in America. We mm-hmm. live in a place where democracy runs the world. So if you are in a place where everything, if like, let's say, don't use your street, use your town as an example. You know what I mean? If you're in a town and the governor or the mayor of the town says, hey, well, the mayor of the town says, hey, We're putting in the ordinance, man. You can't have grass in this town over 6 inches. You like that? Your grass can't grow no more than 6 inches. If it grows more than 6 inches, we come in, we're going to give you a ticket. You know what I mean? Everybody voted to put that guy in the office. And everybody voted to put that guy in the office because his ideals were close or similar to the ideals that you have. So whatever he does while he's there, you can disagree, and there's going to be a select few people that do disagree. But it should be a situation where the majority agrees with what he's doing, and the majority rules. And I mean, I don't understand why that's a why the majority ruling is such a problem.
Because I was trying to show you that those people that were acting on a neighborhood level didn't have the power to even act on a neighborhood level, much less a town level or a state level or a country level. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the power
because nobody
to force
gave
me to change
it to
the paint.
Nobody gave it to them.
No, but exactly.
When I vote, I'm giving it to
you. But you don't have it to give. That's the whole point.
We do have it to give because it's in the Constitution.
Other men, people just like us, wrote that piece of paper.
Okay, but you're going
to
use the
Constitution. And they're dead now, and I didn't sign it. I didn't agree to it.
So let me ask you a question.
Right.
How do you feel about censorship?
And
if you say anything about the First Amendment, then you're going back on everything you just said.
I don't believe in government documents.
Okay.
I believe that there are no such things as rights. Only what they call negative rights. I think somebody called it that.
Okay.
In other words, it's not like I have a right to do at my house as I want to.
Yeah.
No, the thing is, you don't have a right to come over and do anything with my house because it's not yours. See where I'm going with that?
Okay.
You don't have a right to come over and take my kids because you don't like the way I'm raising them. You don't have a right to tear down my storage building because I didn't get your permission. That's a negative thing.
Okay.
I don't believe I have a right just because I'm a human being on this earth doesn't give me a right. I can't tell you, you got to treat me a certain way because I have rights. I'm just a human being and you got to respect that. No, I really don't.
So you don't believe that everybody has the right to free speech?
I believe that you don't have a right to shut me up. If I have something to say.
So that's believing that you have the right to talk.
Well, I don't want to say rights because I don't believe in rights. Rights come from an entitlement mentality. I look at it as you don't have any kind of right to force something on me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but okay. I just think that I think the root of it is you
there is
are,
no power.
At heart, you're a rebel.
I am. And absolutely. I'll be the first to admit it.
Yeah. And as your website says, anarchist, right? Isn't
yes. So, I don't really identify as an anarchist. I mean, I have a lot in common with them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I'm a voluntarist.
Okay. And let's break down, because we use voluntarist mm-hmm. on this podcast. We said socialism and we said communism.
Mm-hmm.
So let's kind of just go through briefly, just so people know what that means, because that's stuff that we hear the time. Like,
yeah.
We hear that all the time.
Okay.
So let's start with voluntarism. What's that?
Okay. Thank you for that. I always enjoy the opportunity to talk about this because a lot of people don't even know it exists.
Most definitely.
And that's when I had my big light bulb moment in 2007 was when I discovered anarchy, and I thought that was what I was. It sounded a lot like me,
mm-hmm.
But I knew I was different from that. But then I researched into anarchy, I found there are different forms of that kind of stuff, and voluntarism popped into my face one day, and that was like, that's me right there. I believe that all human interaction should be by mutual voluntary consent or not at all. If I have to force you to do something,
mm-hmm.
what I want you to do,
mm-hmm.
I have trespassed against you.
Okay.
And I don't believe in trespassing against people. I don't believe in just because I want it a certain way that everybody's got to follow me.
Okay.
I can't make you do what I want to do.
I think wearing a mask right now, like everybody shouldn't be forced to wear a mask.
I don't think government should be mandating it. I think that's why you and I get along well, is because mm-hmm. we have mutual respect for each other, even though we disagree completely on a lot of issues. You and I can have great conversations, and I appreciate your friendship and being able to bounce ideas back and forth between us. So that's really great. I do appreciate that, and I cherish that. But with me, I don't believe in forcing things on people, and I don't believe government, because I've already discussed government and how I don't believe people have the power to transfer power they don't have to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe that government telling me I got to go wear a mask which we've had a lot of medical professionals come out and say wearing a mask for long periods of time is very detrimental to your health. Mm-hmm. I've got videos and statements and stuff from people, because I still do investigative journalism.
Most
of. I've got all kinds of stuff from people and medical doctors and everything talking about how certain things are bad and they're not going to take the vaccine and everything else, right, for COVID. So I don't believe government should tell me what is best for me when they don't even know me.
Yeah.
I'm in one of those higher risk groups.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because of my age.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be wearing a mask if I had a choice somewhere. Okay. If I just don't believe in it. I believe that people who are concerned about it, mm-hmm. if you have a concern about it or you have an underlying condition, which 90% of people who die from it actually have a serious condition underlying first before they even got sick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the majority of people who die. Those people, the people who are concerned about it, people who have conditions, that kind of thing, I think those are the people who should take personal responsibility for themselves and guard themselves, do whatever they feel they need to do to protect themselves personally and peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it should be handled. Now, for those of us who want to go on living our lives and make sure our businesses don't go under because of government mandates and control and, you know, keeping big business from consolidating and scooping everything up with no competition now,
mm-hmm.
I think people should be able to operate their business if they want. They can open that door, and if people, again, have the choice. It's voluntarism. They have a choice of whether or not to go in there and take a risk.
Is that a real realistic
form? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because if you feel bad or frightened or whatever, feel like you might get COVID or something, if you go out, you have the choice to stay home.
But I just don't feel like that's a viable form of government.
Why not?
Where does that exist?
Oh, it's existed in several places in history. Thing is that...
like Timbuktu?
No, Iceland and all kind of places.
Okay.
There have been anarchical societies that have existed, you know, hundreds of years all mm-hmm. over the planet. You don't see that much anymore because governments developed all kind of nuclear weapons and tanks and everything else and mm-hmm. tried to take over everything.
Okay.
While they've kept us down, being able to stop it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a different society we live in. But, you know, people exercise voluntarism. They don't even realize it. They exercise voluntarism in their lives every day.
Mm.
They choose whether or not they're going to step out of the house. They choose whether or not they're going to go to somebody's house. They choose whether or not they're going to be charitable. They choose all kind of things in their daily life because they don't have a policeman standing right over their shoulder making sure they do every little thing right, right?
Okay, yeah.
So everything they do is voluntary. Now, there may be guidelines out there, and it may be government telling you better not do this or do that.
The guidelines are very important, Doug.
We can have those without a ruling authority. I don't believe in not having leaders. I don't believe in having no rules of engagement for each other and things like that and mutual respect.
Okay.
Absolutely. It doesn't mean that you just go run wild and shoot at each other and all kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
No. Even anarchy itself is a very organized society. People think anarchy. The media says anarchy is chaos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It is so not chaos. They have turned that word into a bad thing.
Okay.
Anarchy is a very detailed societal way of society organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically share everything. It's a communal type of living. And they have mutual respect. And if you don't agree with that, you can go somewhere else.
So, all right.
And it's peaceful.
Okay.
And so, it doesn't mean you can't defend yourself. Sure you can.
Okay.
Everything can be private.
So you said a communal way of living.
Yes. Now, I don't personally subscribe to that.
Okay.
But so, they do. And being a voluntarist, I believe you should be able to live your life the way you choose with people who want to get together with you and voluntarily choose to do that.
You more so just believe that everybody should just have whatever section of the world that they want to and just live however you want to live it.
Hey, if you want to have your democratic socialist whatever mm-hmm. in your world over here and people who want to join you come over here and do that of their own free will,
okay,
great. That is you. That's the way you want to live your life and the way those other people want to live it with you. That's great. Just don't try to force it on me. That's where we draw the line. It's the force is the thing that separates us.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
So, and I wouldn't try to force mine on you.
Most definitely.
I respect you too.
All right. So the next term we'll
yes,
get
sir.
Into. And I think we're going to stay here for a second just because there's a lot of different avenues. Mm-hmm. Socialism.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read the definition of socialism. Socialism is a political and economic theory of social organization, which advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community. So why is that a scary word? And like the word, like you just said, anarchy, like that whole thing is communal. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like it seems as though, let me rephrase it. Why do you think that socialism has become a scary thought?
I think I just had a breakthrough moment with us, with how we are thinking in terms of politics and social societal organization.
Most definitely.
It's not that a system is bad or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want to do. That's your choice. Your life, you should be able to live it however you want. Mm-hmm. The problem, I think the issue that we have is force. The force is the problem I have a problem with.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem.
Anything, if you're being forced to live any lifestyle, I'm not living it.
That's a trespass as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Because I'm not able to choose for my life what I think is important for me. Mm. Just like anybody else wants to choose for themselves what they feel is important, live their life how they want to live it, and be called what they want to be called and everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Most definitely.
To them.
Yeah.
Right? So I just want the same respect. If I want to live my life in a voluntary society with other people who agree like I do and live in peace, I should have every power to do that. And that's what I advocate for. I think force is the problem we have.
Okay.
You feel like society, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But this is the way I look at it, the way I see it from things we've talked about. You want to better society, and I agree with you on that. And you think that by having a democratic socialist type of environment where the community or the state or the nation votes on who gets to have what,
mm-hmm.
is the best way to go to alleviate poverty and improve education, those kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I don't see where that would be a bad thing if force was removed from the equation.
Okay.
You could do it privately with all your friends and associates and people that feel the way you do, and that would be great. Maybe you could get something accomplished. But the moment you try to push it on somebody else who doesn't want to be a part of it,
taxes.
That's where I draw the line at. Yeah, I can't do that. I might even contribute to your society if you're making headway with something. Yeah. If you got something going on and it sounds really good, I might actually, you know, help you out in something, but I just don't want to be forced. That's the only thing. I think that's where we disagree the most.
So I'll say this, in the information, like in all of the research that I've done,
mm-hmm.
I think when I started my research, I was like, wow, socialism doesn't seem so bad. And I was just like, yo, like, what the fuck is the problem with that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody take care of everybody, one hand wash the other. Like, that sounds like, you know, that sounds perfect.
It's a good ideal.
You know what I'm saying? And that word is when I started to look at it, when I looked up the definition and I found one that on its face is a theory. Mm-hmm. And then all of these things, whether it's a democracy, whether it's voluntarism, whether mm-hmm. it's socialism, whether it's communism, whether it's any of these things, mm-hmm. they're all theories and right. ideals. You know what I mean? So to me, the actionable items, and I said this to you earlier, the actionable items that go along with those things are what make them better or worse than the other one. Mm-hmm. So looking at socialism and just looking at the things that have been done in the places where socialism is a thing, hell fuck no. I don't think I want that, man. Listen. But also, when I look at it, just being honest, like I don't want none of that.
I wasn't expecting that.
Nah, man. I listen, man. I've really been looking at it, and
that's good though. That's good.
And I mean, like honestly, I think that it depends on the area where it's done. It depends on the people. I think everything depends on people. That's why I think maybe if anything, the best way to do it is through a democracy. Because hopefully you are electing people that have ideals similar to you. So when they make those decisions, they're ideals that reflect the community. You know what I mean? So that's my biggest thing. Like I think that local voting is very important. So that way we can change the people who make the decisions. So that way they reflect more upon everybody versus just one specific group, black, white, rich, poor, whatever. I think that more people should vote, and people should take those things more important so that way you can see a representation of yourself in laws and in the democratic process. That's where I'm where I in my research. That's where I've come more so. I fell in love with democracy as I researched all of the other ones, just because the idea to have to just voting to that's the only way to me to have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, because if we just put somebody in there and they just do whatever they want to do. Like, what's that? You know, that's not gonna, that doesn't do anything. So we don't want a dictator. We don't want none of those things. So I just, I don't know. But again, so getting back to socialism, as I looked it up and I saw places like Venezuela and Cuba and, you know, and then going deeper.
To be fair, Cuba is more communist.
Yeah, yeah. But as I've learned, that socialism leads to communism.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? So the whole idea is, you know, it but I don't know. I think anything done in America, I think that the foundation of America, really, like if we just take America for what it is, people came here to get away from that type of experience. So I don't think that there's any way. Like, the one thing I agree with Donald Trump is, we'll never be a socialist country. I don't think so.
I think we're already there.
But I totally disagree, because just because you do something doesn't make you that. Or just because, like, what do you think makes us already there? Let me ask you this.
Well, you know, socialism is, I mean, that's the nature of socialism, is to vote on who gets to keep what and who gets what. So it's a division, it's a redistribution, it's a, I'm taking this part and switching it over here and pushing it over there and giving it to that person instead of this person. That's what socialism, that's what the whole basis of socialism is about.
But that's not what our country does.
It does. We 66% of our, two-thirds of our federal budget is social programs and redistribution.
Okay, but those
Medicare, Medicaid, all that kind of stuff.
All right, so, all right.
Military.
Those, but to me, in my opinion, us doing things to improve the country as a whole doesn't make us socialists. Because if we do things, there's a clear difference in the bottom of the barrel in this country than the top. So if we do things to kind of balance that out, wouldn't that better the country as a whole?
But that's what socialism does. And communism really goes to extreme.
Yeah, but okay, so but the ideal of socialism does it. But if we never... If we never call it that, we never call it that. We just this is democracy. You know what I'm saying? It's just a democracy. But also there are some. I think we have certain pieces of communism. We have certain pieces of everything in our of all of it.
Yeah, we kind of
do. You know what I'm saying? Like there has to be certain pieces from every single thing to make it all work. But I think the socialism part is important. Because we have to bridge the gap between the bottom and you don't think it's important to bridge that gap?
Why do we have to do that? I don't see. I'm speaking just simply from a logical Mr. Spock point of view right here.
Okay.
I'm not bringing emotion into this.
Okay.
I want to see why it is you think we have to do that. Because I mean, it's nice to do that. It's nice to help.
If everybody is at, okay, if everybody can contribute to the economy.
Sure.
In a positive way.
Right.
Then wouldn't that make the country better?
I believe that's a good thing.
Okay, so if everybody was educated and everybody had health care and they weren't going into hospitals and never paying bills again and then going and having, you know, like if all of those things were just was made to a point where, hey, man, you don't have to worry about that. So now, like, now all of the other bullshit is to the side. So maybe we can move forward because we don't have to worry about the things that inherently hold you down in this country that doesn't hold you down in other places. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I think you need a some level of socialism because we gotta bridge the gap. We have to. And we're not gonna bridge it through just being good humans because because of obvious reasons. Like that's 400, as you like to say, 400 years have told us that we're not just going to be good humans and just let the gap be bridged. So there's going to have to be some type of things put into place that bridge the gap for us. Am I wrong?
All right. Well, okay. I'm speaking solely objectively, okay, not subjectively. I'm not going to bring emotions into this or anything. I'm looking at it just as an outside observer. Mm-hmm. One, I think your ideals of wanting to better the lives of other people is great. That's very commendable, respectable, and I can dig that. That's awesome. I'd love to be able to improve the lives of people too. Mm-hmm. Redistributing wealth and that kind of thing, there has to be...
When you say redistributing wealth, you're just talking about taxing people.
No, resources, money, property, anything. Anything mm-hmm. that you divvy up mm-hmm. or reallocate, that's a symptom of socialism. So I don't have a problem with your ideal.
If we're spending millions of dollars of war...
I don't agree with that either.
But I'm saying if we are, we're spending billions of dollars in the military.
Our politicians are.
Okay. Billions of dollars into the military, mm-hmm. right? And that's not really helping the country, you know, in a way that leads to things changing.
Well, see, that's a subjective opinion. And then we all have a subjective opinion.
Okay.
That's why we're all fighting over everything, yeah. right? So I agree with your ideals.
I don't know. I just feel like if we're spending $2 billion on the military and we don't need $2 billion to go to the military, what's wrong with redistributing those funds to the healthcare system?
Well, the funds should not have been taken in the first place. That's what I believe.
What do you mean it shouldn't have been taken from the people?
Right, right. But they didn't have a choice.
All
right,
so now the funds are already there. So shouldn't they go to
they should go back to the people that were stolen from.
They are going back to you, man. You about to get a stimmy.
Well, like,
you about to get
that
a
was
stimmy.
My money before.
You getting it back, man. Giving it right back to
well,
you.
See, I think I'm good with you trying to improve the lives of people. That's great, because when we all succeed, it opens up more opportunities.
Yeah.
For all we know, somebody out there has got a cure for something and you just need an avenue to break
just
it out.
Just need the money, you know what I'm saying? No funding.
But, first of all, I'm not obligated to help them as a person. It is not my obligation to do it. It is my religion to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And, follow the golden rule and be charitable and, you know.
So
that's kind of thing. My religion tells me that.
If the religion tells you that, mm-hmm. and if you're just gonna live your life morally that way,
mm-hmm.
Why are you so dead set on fighting against or fighting for people that want to live immorally?
Oh, I'm so not. Okay. I don't want to fight for anybody's living immorally. I do want to enrich other people and see them come up in the socioeconomic ladder and things like that. I do. You and I agree on that.
Okay.
The problem is, don't take my money from me without my consent and go pay for something that I might not agree with. You might not do it the way I want you to do it, but the fact that you're taking it from me without my consent in the first place is the first trespass. I can't get past that at all. Because, I mean, anything after that is just details and just aggravating the situation. Mm-hmm. So I like what you're doing. I like what you want to do. Maybe we could set up a charity to do that. This country, I mean, charity was rampant in this country before we had social safety nets. And then people are like, well, the government's already taking 40% of my check every year. Why do I need to contribute? They're taking care of the charity. I don't need to do that anymore. So charity went down mm-hmm. once that started happening. And, so, you know, back then, families took care of families.
So don't tax nobody. Just do charity.
If I had my way about it, that's the way it would work.
Oh, man.
Because people were here before governments. Government is a man-made mental construct. You can't, see government in the air. You can't touch government. It's not a physical thing. It's something you buy into.
Money is man-made physical construct. That's what
the majority... But government isn't.
What do you mean?
If you grew up on a desert island, and you'd never heard of government before, mm-hmm. but then you came to the United States, and somebody said, you got a government here.
But you'd be
you'd
a
be
savage.
Like, what is that?
If
I don't know what...
If you grew up on some desert island, you'd be a savage.
Why'd you have to be a savage?
What would you... Because where would there be anything to make some society confined? Like, you know what I'm saying? What do you think you're going to do if there's nobody to tell you, hey, man...
Survive.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. a lot of times survival... calls for being a savage. If there's no rules,
we got rules now and everybody's savage.
No, everybody's not savage. There's a group of people. There are some people that are savage, and those people will go to jail. Or, you know what I'm saying? We have social constructs that deal with those people. In your ideal world, there's no social construct.
Oh yeah, there is.
To deal with humans that are fucking up.
Oh yeah, there is.
The people deal with that. We just whoop their ass.
No. But I'll tell you this, you got a court system. We've talked about this before. You got a court system that lets people off on technicalities, lets people out with good behavior, mistrials, not bad evidence, lying on the stand. People don't get justice. And these people get out and they go do something again and they get thrown back in the cage again. And somebody else is injured because the court system didn't do its job. But if we as a society, because I mean, the old saying still holds, armed society is a polite society.
You keep saying that.
It is so true. Everywhere you look, where it's been tried, and we talked about this too, Kennesaw, Georgia, when they passed that ordinance in the city, said every house had to have a gun. That
is fucking London. It's no guns in London.
And the crime rate went through the roof overnight.
Ain't a lot of people killing people, though.
We talked about it on the radio back when that happened, and the crime rate went through the roof overnight.
Maybe when it happened, but what about now, though? Has it? I feel like it's probably tailored down.
Actually, the people over there are protesting to get their guns back.
They don't need guns, man. Nobody need guns.
Well, see, that's another subjective opinion. And you don't own anybody else. You can't tell them that.
You're going to tell me that you need guns because of the Second Amendment.
I'm going to tell you I want a gun if I want to have a gun. It doesn't matter what my justification is. I'm an equal person just like you. And my wants, needs, and desires are just as important as yours. And if I desire to have a gun in my hand and go, wow, I like the way that thing looks, feels. I like to go target shoot once in a while. I might like to go hunt and bring something home to eat for my family. That's my business. Nobody else owns me, so they don't tell me what I can do with my life. As long as I'm not trespassing against you, we good, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, listen. I don't know, man. We could talk about this forever.
We
could talk about it forever.
Because I love a good exchange of ideas, man.
Talk about it forever. But I think, and I'm going to wrap it up soon, I think the most important thing that we can learn from the comments that I learn every time I talk to you is that there ain't no right way to do this shit.
I agree.
It doesn't seem like it's a right way. You know what I mean?
I would agree.
And to me, like I say in my research, there has to be some level of all of them for things. Because we didn't even talk about capitalism. And you know what I'm saying? Like, just right. Because right now we're a capitalist society. You know what I'm saying? That's where we're in right now. You'd say socialist. Kinda. I think we're capitalist.
We do have capitalist elements.
Like,
yeah.
I truly believe that's what's running us. And we didn't even touch on that. So we definitely gonna have to do this again.
I'd enjoy that.
Now we got a special appearance from Solo. You know he's gonna jump
in. Yeah, he's become my friend over here.
Every once in a while, he makes an appearance in the pod.
Yeah.
The way I end my podcast is with random questions.
Okay.
I love random questions. It's just some shit that I like to ask people whenever we around. So I'm gonna jump off the bridge with you. If you had $1 million, what would be the first the first frivolous thing you bought? Like, you know, okay, you might buy a house for your family, sure. Of course, you know, things like that.
Absolutely.
But I'm talking about the first thing when you say, you know what, I want this. What's you gonna buy?
A Lamborghini. Just being straight up,
you going to get a Lamborghini right off the rip.
Yeah, that's I've always had a fascination with those cars since I was a kid, man, and I would love to have one. If I could make it work and, have a nice little budget left over afterward. But that would be something I would consider, sure.
Okay. Who's your favorite superhero?
Ooh, that's easy. Who? Batman, all the way.
He's not a superhero, though.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Oh, my gosh.
He's brought down Superman 5 times.
With kryptonite.
With his intelligence.
I've had this kind of... Wow,
that's why he leaves the Justice League. He's the smartest one in the bunch.
He's not a superhero. He's a vigilante.
That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I don't know.
I don't know if that's a good one.
I don't know.
It's a hot dog and sandwich, man.
Well, it is meat between two sides of bread, right?
But the bread aren't separated.
Right.
The bread is one, is really one bun, one bread folded. So is that a sammy?
Is a pita a sammy too? Because, I mean, you fold over bread and put stuff in it, right?
Is a pita a sandwich? That's a great question.
Right?
Or hot dogs and pita sandwiches. I guess it depends on what you put in the pita.
Yeah.
Because if you just put veggies in the pita, it's not a sandwich. But if you got some turkey and cheese in there.
Yeah, you
got
to have some meat in there.
Yeah, that's a sandwich.
It's not
sure.
a sandwich. It's just some vegetables and bread. And
meat yeah, at that point.
Yeah, right?
So, oh, man, okay.
That's a good one.
All right, so let me give you one more, man.
That was definitely left field.
What's your favorite... Marvel movie.
Ooh, Marvel movie. Ooh. Probably the Infinity War Endgame two-parter.
Mm.
Or either it had to be Captain America Winter Soldier.
Captain America. Oh, that's a different one. I've heard Avengers a couple of times.
Yeah. The
Captain America. Is a good
Captain
one.
America Winter Soldier.
How do you I've heard somebody say that Captain America is probably the best trilogy like they've ever seen.
Those were some good movies.
How do you feel about it as a trilogy?
There were some good movies. There was a lot of government crap in there that I didn't like. But,
of course. Talk about the government.
Yeah, I see it everywhere I go. They embedded in everything.
Yeah.
It's all in our entertainment. Even Superman had to be carried before the Senate in one of his movies, right? I mean, come on, really? He could just heat vision the whole place down in a moment. He ain't got to go before them. But that's the kind of ridiculous crap we get embedded in our entertainment. But the Captain America Winter Soldier, it showed a side of Captain America. He was created to be, the comic book itself was created to be a propaganda mechanism during the World Wars for some type of patriotic effect, unite behind the red, white, and blue and the stars, you know. And
yeah.
It was sort of that kind of thing. But in the movie, that movie, Winter Soldier, Captain America came out as being, hey, I don't like what you're doing with this surveillance program on America, and I'm not going along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? I almost did not go to see that movie because I heard there was a political stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I almost decided, nah, I'm going to wait for the reviews. I'm not even going to see it yet because I don't want to get mad and walk out. So, and that's happened a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But when I decided at the last minute to go see it. And when I walked out of there, I had a smile on my face because it didn't turn out the way I thought it would.
Okay.
It was a very pro-freedom, government don't watch what I'm doing, stay off my back kind of movie, and I appreciated that. So that was a different change of pace. That was pretty cool.
Worse. I think we'll end it the same way we started it.
Okay.
You don't like shit dealing with the government.
No, I don't. But I hope you and I can, and people like us, can come together one day and figure out a way to do it without beating each other over the heads and taking stuff from each
Most
other.
Most definitely. And that was the main reason why I wanted to do this, because it's important to have conversations with people that don't always, like I said in the beginning, they don't always agree with you. And you can have those conversations and then take something from that.
Sure.
You know, and I take a lot of things from each conversation we have. So I appreciate you coming by, man. We talked for an hour, man.
It was a good conversation.
Went by fast, yo.
Yeah. Let's build those bridges, man.
Most definitely. Build bridges, man. We're going to get over all of this, yo.
Right on.
Hey, listeners, yo, if you made it through the whole episode, I appreciate you. I hope you got some good information. Shout out to Solo the dog. He tired, man. It's time to get up out of here. Make sure y'all follow me on social media. I'm at Ramon LOL, RAAMONLOL. That's on Instagram, on Facebook. It's just my name, Ramon Bryant, RAAMON, last name Bryant, just like Kobe, ROP to 824. I say ROP, RIP to 824. It's time for me to get a drink. but yeah, man, this has been a great time, Doug. Thank you for coming through one more time, man.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Word up, yo. Thank y'all for listening, man. This is the Pod Daddy 1.